Go ahead, September. You can ask it unless you want to wait.
No, it's just for noise. Is it star? Is it pound six?
It's star six. Yep.
Star
so if anybody has, needs to mute their background, you can hit star six.
Thank you.
Becky Speet, the Christian direct seller and direct sales specialist, and I just want to welcome you to our call this morning. This is our weekly call that we do each and every Monday morning at 8:30 Central. And so hopefully you'll be able to join us in the future. Everybody always says, can I please have the replay? Can I please have the replay? And so just so that you know where you can find that is it will be posted up on Facebook under my one of my business pages. That would be The Christian Direct Seller. And it's also available on my website. And those are absolutely free for you to download and to share. So make sure that you share those links. Today we're going to be talking about a pretty hefty, heavy topic, and that's forgiveness. And, you know, sometimes in my own life, I can honestly say it was really, really hard to forgive. But I want to talk about the components about why forgiveness is so important and what it is and what it isn't. And then I'm going to lead you in a prayer of forgiveness. So you might want to, if you've got unforgiveness in your heart, might want to make a short little list there or even a long list of people that you'd like to include in that prayer because I want you to be free. You're going to be so excited when you hear about all the amazing things that forgiveness does, not just for the other person, but most importantly for us. You know, in Isaiah 24:15, it reminds us that we are to glorify or reflect the Lord in the fire. And I know for me that that's when it's the hardest time to forgive. It's pretty easy to love people that love us, but it's pretty hard to forgive people that have really, really hurt us. But going through the steps, living it out moment by moment, being able to stay in a place of true forgiveness will make all the difference for you. I call this unconditionally forgiving other people. You know, there's really two parts to forgiveness. And the first one is our relationship to God. And the second part is our relationship to the other person. The primary reason that we forgive, and it's important that we forgive, is because God tells us that in the scripture in Mark 11, 25, and 26. However, there's also a second part. And that's so that we are able to reconcile with the other person. When we choose to unconditionally forgive them, we're going to be clean before the Lord. And we can know that He will give us the love that we need for that other person. And I know this sounds pretty hard. And I know that so many of us have undergone some really major things to forgive. You know, I'm sure some of you are thinking, well, yeah, but you don't know my story, or you don't know what they said to me, or that hurt so bad, or I was abused, or I was raped, or I was, and it doesn't matter what we can fill in the blank with. And I'm not going to say that it's okay that that person did that to you. That's not what I'm saying at all, and I'm going to really talk about what unforgiveness is not. But it is important for us that we forgive. And the only way that we can really love other people that have wronged us is by unconditionally forgiving them. Now, what I mean by that is I just mean that I willfully ask the Lord to please help me willfully forgive them. And then I release them to God. Only then am I able to be an open vessel for God's love to flow through. If we don't do this, the scripture tells us what's going to happen. And what happens is the enemy will get an advantage in us, according to 2 Corinthians 2:11. And I don't want that. I want to be that vessel that God created for me. You know, there's four good reasons why we have to forgive other people. Number one is that God says so in His Word. Number two, our relationship with Him is going to be quenched if we don't. And we don't want that. Number three is we won't have His love flowing through us if we choose not to. And number four, that the enemy is going to be able to take advantage of us if we won't obey. That's pretty serious, right? So let me ask you, is forgiveness a conscious choice or an emotional state? A lot of people ask me that. And I believe forgiveness is really a choice that we make through a decision of our will. It's motivated out of our obedience to God and His command to forgive. I can tell you right now, there's going to be many times that you are not going to feel like it. You will not feel like you want to forgive. But if we can willfully forgive, if we make a decision to do that, we can begin that forgiveness process. You know, Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against another person. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How did he do that? He did it unconditionally, right? So how do we forgive when we don't feel like it? Well, we forgive by faith. We do it out of obedience. Since forgiveness goes against our very nature, we have to forgive by faith, whether we feel like it or not. We have to trust God to do the work in us that needs to be done so that the forgiveness will be complete. You know, I believe that God honors our commitment to obey him and our desire to please him when we choose to forgive. He completes the work in his time. We must continue to forgive. That's just our job, by faith, until the work of the forgiveness, the Lord's job, is done in our hearts. According to Philippians 1:6, it says, and I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until he's finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. So let's talk about a few things. What forgiveness is not, okay? Forgiveness is not denying, approving, or diminishing sin that's been committed against us. It's not saying that it's all okay, that it's okay for people to do that to other people or to do that to you. Forgiveness is not being naive. You know, if we're just naive, we're really not forgiving sin. We're just trying to ignore it. And that's not forgiving. Ignoring things doesn't forgive it. Forgiveness is not enabling the sin. To forgive people is not to remain stuck in their cycle of sin, because what we do if we enable them, we let them stay stuck and keep hurting other people, and that's not right either. Forgiveness is not waiting for someone to acknowledge their sin, to apologize, and to repent. And I think this is what gets us hung up a lot of times, because we're thinking, well, yeah, if they'll ask for forgiveness, I'll forgive them. Yeah, they need to come to me and say, hey, I was wrong. But the sad truth is that some people are never going to fully repent, and some people are not even going to acknowledge it ever. What about for those people that we never see again, or maybe they die before we can hear their apology? We forgive because it's what God requires and what we need to do, not because our offender has apologized. It's really important. Forgiveness is not forgetting about the sin committed against us. It's actually impossible to completely forget such things. We can ask the Lord to remove it from our memory and things like that, but in his word, God says, you know, there's sin I will remember no more. So does that mean that all of a sudden, God just doesn't have a memory anymore? No. He tells us in his word that he knows everything. But what it means is that he continually chooses not to bring it up and to keep it in the forefront of his thinking. That's what we need to do. We need to make the choice to not bring it up all the time and to keep it in the forefront of our mind. Because what happens is the enemy gets us thinking about it and keeps us all tore up about that and keeps us in that unforgiveness mode, because he knows if he can keep you from unforgiveness, that's a great distraction. He also knows that later on you'll feel guilty and he likes to bring in condemnation, and none of those things are from God. You know, God is an all-knowing God. It's impossible for him to actually forget something, but I'm sure that he moves on to thinking about your goodness and your love and how much he loves you. Forgiveness is not dying emotionally and no longer feeling the pain of the transgression. This happens to a lot of women, especially, is we just die emotionally. We decide, you know what, we're just not going to think about that anymore, and we let those emotions start dying off instead of that true caring and that character of God. Forgiveness is not a one-time event. A lot of times we have to continually forgive. Each and every time that it comes into your mind, forgive the transgressor and move on. Don't keep bringing it up. Ask the Lord to remove it from your memory. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. You may never have reconciliation with someone, but you can forgive them. Forgiveness takes just a moment. Reconciliation may be a lifelong process. Forgiveness is not neglecting justice. You know, in fact, if a crime's been committed, we can actually simultaneously forgive somebody else and call the police to arrest them, right? God's going to deal with every sin. We don't have to. He's going to deal with every sin of every human being, and he's going to do it justly. We can't do it justly. Leave God's job to God. For those who repent of sin and come to faith in Jesus Christ, justice came at the cross of Jesus when our Savior suffered and died in the place for our sin. For those who do not repent of sin and come into faith with Jesus, their justice will come in the punishment that's assigned to them. That's awful. That's hell. By not seeking vengeance, we are not neglecting justice. I'm sorry. So think about that. A lot of times we think that we have to have the vengeance, and that's what we really want. That's not justice. We need to trust God for perfect justice and get ourselves out of the middle between the sinner and God. In Romans 12:19, it tells us precisely, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Because it's written in the Word, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." The thing that happens with unforgiveness is it puts in deep roots of bitterness. What we need to do instead is we need to pray for them. We need to forgive them, and we need to show them the gospel of grace. How else will this person ever truly see the love of Jesus if we don't show them? What's going to get their heart more than anything is how we continually treat them with love, versus letting them continue to hurt you or just dismissing the sin or trying to take vengeance on ourselves. And I know forgiving someone else can be very difficult. I also want you to think about forgiving yourself. This is probably one of the things that I hear more often than not. I have people, we pray at our church, we're elders, and we pray for many people at the altar, and many people come up, and they're holding unforgiveness, or they're lacking healing, and they can't get their healing. And it almost always goes back to unforgiveness and roots of bitterness. And then when we talk about, is there anyone else that they need to forgive? Then they, you know, we go through that, and sometimes we still don't get the freedom. And the biggest person, the thing we hear the most that they don't forgive is themselves. Many of you have probably heard me say this in the past, that I almost feel that this is a form of idolatry, because we can believe that Jesus forgives us. I'll ask each and every time, do you believe that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin? Yes, I believe he's forgiven me. Now ask, do you forgive yourself? Oh, I can't. I can't forgive myself. Well, then basically what you're saying is you've elevated yourself above the Father. He says he can forgive you, and we don't ever want to do that. But I'm not trying to diminish that forgiveness is difficult at times. But the Bible tells us exactly why and how we are to forgive. So we talked about this already, but I want to go over this again because I want to make sure you truly, truly get this. Why it's so important that we forgive other people is because we're sinners, and we need to forgive other people, according to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive man their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty heavy. We have to be ready to forgive over and over again. According to Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter came to Jesus and he said, okay, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Like up to 7 times? That seems like a lot. And that was also the number of perfection for them. That was like a number of completeness. So he was thinking, okay, so by then it should be enough, right? And you know what Jesus said? He said, I tell you not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Whoa. Did he literally mean you have to do it 490 times? No. He meant as many times as the person offends you. That's one of the biggest baits of Satan, is to take up an offense. He tries to get people to take up an offense against another person because he knows then he's got you. The Father won't forgive you, and you'll be walking in unforgiveness, which is going to open up the door for not being well and all kinds of other things. So what do? We need to confess, and God will forgive us our sins. So all it tells us in 1 John 1:9 is all we have to do is confess our sins, and he's faithful and just. He's going to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, love is going to lead us to forgiving other people. It tells us in Numbers 14, 19 through 20, that in accordance with your great love, that's God the Father's, we need to forgive the sin of these people just as you have pardoned them from the time that they left Egypt until now. And the Lord replied, I've forgiven them just as you asked. So as soon as we ask, all we have to do is trust that God's forgiven them. One of the things that I think that we also need to remember is when we're supposed to forgive other people. You know, Matthew 5:23-24 tells us that if you're offering your gift at the altar, that means you're going and you're going to go and worship. Remember that your brother, and let's say that you do that and your brother has something against you, or you have something against your brother, an offense. You're supposed to leave there in front of the altar, go and reconcile with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So even before we worship, we need to make sure that there is no unforgiveness in our heart. We're supposed to forgive other people rather than judge them, according to John 8:7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, then let him be the first to throw the stone at her. He knew that this adulteress was so covered in sin. She was guilty. They caught her right in the act. But he also knew that none of them were without sin as well. We have to remember that Jesus is our model. According to Luke 23:33-34, when they came to the place called the Skull, where they had crucified Jesus along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left hand, they heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. That was what was on his mind. Not, oh, I'm hurting, you've abused me, don't you know who I am? Let me justify myself. No, he was the one that he said, forgive them. So how are we supposed to treat our enemies? According to Romans 12:20, if your enemy's hungry, you need to feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in this, you'll be heaping coals on his head. Remember that we're here to bless other people. We're here to do the work of the Father, to show Jesus to everyone. So is forgiveness for other people? Sure. But is it mostly for us? Yes. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11:25 tells us, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. James 5:16 tells us, therefore confess your sin to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power in its working. And in Luke 6:27, it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. That's hard, I know. Luke 6:32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. So we need to love the people that don't necessarily love us, and we need to forgive ourselves. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of forgiveness. Father God, we know that you wish above all things that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And it's hard for us to prosper our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions if we have unforgiveness. So, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus to make a personal commitment for each one of us to walk in the God kind of love. We've made the decision to love and to forgive everyone who has spoken or come against us or our loved ones. We refuse to hold any aught, ill feelings, unforgiveness, strife, or discord in our lives. We want our hearts to always be pure and perfect before you. According to your written word, love never fails. Perfect love casts out fear, and faith works by love. But the greatest of all of these is love. Help us to love like you. I want my heart to always be pure and perfect before you. According to your written word, Lord, you tell us that your love was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And love is the first fruit of the Spirit that is to grow and develop in our lives. And above all, Jesus gave me a new commandment that I'm supposed to love everybody. God, I ask that you would help me to forgive. And I want each one of you to just fill in the blank with people's name. For whatever they may have done to come against us, laying not this sin to their charge, please forgive them, for they know not what they've done. Lord, I remind you that you've forgiven me of all of my sins, my wrongdoings, my faults, and my shortcomings. You know, Jesus forgave all those who persecuted and crucified him, as well as those who personally attacked him. Stephen forgave those who rallied against him and stoned him. And if Jesus could forgive when they were crucifying him, and Stephen could forgive as they were throwing the stones, I can forgive anybody that's come against me and my loved ones. This is because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Nothing in what I could do. And Jesus said that I can have what I say. Therefore, based on the written word of God, my confession of faith is the following. In the name of Jesus, I'm not moved by what I see, by what others do or say about me, nor how they treat me. I refuse to be a carnal Christian. I choose to be spiritually mature in the Lord. If no one else in the body of Christ walks in that God kind of love, that is none of my business. I'm walking in the God kind of love. I don't hold a grudge or resentment against anyone. And I refuse to allow my flesh and my carnal nature to dominate me. I refuse to be ruled by my emotions or my feelings. I walk in the Spirit. I walk by faith. I walk not by sight. And I always walk in the God kind of love. And because I do, I'm going to reap the benefits of a long life, good health, and divine protection. Everything always working for our good. And whatever we do will prosper. We do not sit in the seat of the scornful. But on the contrary, we're ruling and reigning in this life here on earth through Christ Jesus. Satan has no place in our lives because we have no guile in us. We love everyone the same with that God kind of love. We never return railing for railing, and we're always quick to forgive and slow to speak. We're not easily provoked, and we do not think evil of anyone because our trust is in the Lord and not in man. Please forgive me for having expectations of man that I should not have had. Since we operate in our Christian life in that God kind of love and have the forgiveness of everyone, of everything they've ever done, we are blessed with the blessings of God. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to refrain our tongues from evil and our lips to speak no guile and no gossip. Therefore, our faith is not going to be hindered. And we know, God, that you have heard and you have answered our prayers, because it tells us that it's written, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knowing all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we will have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do these things that are pleasing in his sight. Lord, we thank you for always helping us to forgive and to walk out this God kind of love. Father God, I do also pray for Dakota and for Jennifer, Lord, as they're going through and we're seeing that he's being defiant. Lord, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would bring a peace to his spirit now in Jesus' name, that he would walk close to you, that these signs or these manifestations of what appears to be ADHD, we bind you in Jesus' name, and they must stop and they must cease and they must desist in Jesus' name. We claim total healing over his body, over his mind, his will, and his emotions. We know that as his soul prospers, Lord, so will his health. So, Lord, I ask that you would help remind him that he is born of you and that he is has love, power, and a sound mind. We thank you for September and her family supporting Jennifer, and we ask that you would give them a peace that goes beyond all understanding, but yet you would give them understanding, that you would give them peace and give them a path, directing their path each and every step. Lord, we praise you for Kimberly and her obedience and her yielding to God, and we're so excited to see that she's developing in and through you personally as well as spiritually, and that she's stepping into her speaking gifts, Lord, and we are just so thankful that she's seeing that fruit of her labor and how you're working through her. Thank you for showing up in such a mighty way. And Father, we lift Hannah's family to you. We know that her father has passed and is hopefully sitting with you, Father. However, we get really sad here, and you know that, when a loved one goes on to be with you. So, Father, I pray that you will comfort them in a new way, that you will wrap your arms around them, that they will feel your hug, they will feel your love, and they will have sweet memories that will hold them together. Father God, I just pray that you will wrap your arms around them, give them wisdom and direction as they start a new normal and as things are different. Lord, I pray that you will send people around them to rally around them, to love them, to guide them, to support them. Lord, I pray that you will heal their broken hearts. I pray that they will be used in a new, magnificent way, and that you will draw them closer and closer to you. Lord, I just praise you and I thank you that you love us, that you care about our businesses, that you care about our families, that you care about our health. Lord, and I thank you that we are free from unforgiveness, that all the roots of bitterness have been plucked out of our hearts, that the enemy must leave now in the name of Jesus, and that we will willfully and obediently choose to forgive. I pray you will bless those that have harmed us. Lord, thank you for this. And yes, it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get off the phone, I just want to go over one real quick thing. A lot of people ask me, evidently you've never had, unforgiveness. And yes, I have had unforgiveness, and I've had some really nasty things done to me. But one thing that I did that really supported me was, one of my prayer mentors shared this with me when I was younger, and she said, any time that you think a negative thought or you feel the pain from that person that offended you, I want you to bless them. And so I would pray blessings over that person each and every time. And and I would pray for them. And I didn't just say, oh, Lord, bless them. I went through their life. Lord, I pray you'll bless their children. I pray that everything that she does, her business will prosper. I pray that she is, filled with the love and the light of Jesus, and that women are blessing her, that she has financial blessings, that her house is, a house of God. And I just would go through all of the different things. And she was blessed. He was blessed. But what happened more so than anything is I had that blessing of being able to rejoice in the Lord and what his work that he was doing in their lives. And it did heal the unforgiveness and the bitterness. And it prevented that from taking place in my heart. But it healed my heart as well. So I want to encourage you along those lines as well. If you do have unforgiveness towards someone or you've had that in the past, because we just prayed and it's all gone now, so don't take it back on. But if you have those hurts or you have something that pops up, I want you to bless those people because God's going to do a mighty work in you for doing that as well. I hope you have a fantastic week. God bless you, everybody, and know that you are loved, and I'll be praying for each one of you. Invite your friends to join us next week, and watch for the replay to come out and repeat this prayer and share this with other people. I hope that you have an abundantly blessed week. God bless you. Bye-bye, everybody.